breakdown?
Well, we'll start here. The bigs had 3 3 is of the seven that were made. So that's the first part. We'll
Chucky feeding them.
Absolutely. But I thought they did this really well. They rebounded the ball extremely well. Out-rebounded Ohio State 26-39, 30 points in the paint, even though it was even. I don't care that it was even. I care what you got in the paint. Mm-hmm. They got 30 of them. Here, this was key. Defensively, I thought they were pretty good. Even giving up only 54 to Ohio State, the number that I'm most impressed with is zero fast break points for Ohio State.
Yep.
They got back. They filed the scouting report. Last thing, two double-doubles. A.J. Storr rebounded the ball at a high level. Stephen Curl scored the ball and rebounded the ball at a high level. That's when you look at how they were able to get this done. I thought they set the tone early inside.
Tyler Wall was approaching a triple-double of his own. Ended up with 7 rebounds to go with 10 points in the game. Stephen Curl, 16 points. Storr, 14. Wall, 10. Chucky Hepburn with 9, 5 rebounds, 7 helpers, along with no turnovers for Hepburn tonight. Max Klesman with 8. Nolan Winter with 5. Bruce Thornton with 18 to pace Ohio State. Roddy Gale, Evan Mahaffey each with 10. 7 tonight for Bowen Hardman. 4 for Devin Royal. 3 for Jamison Battle. 2 for Felix Okpara. And that wrapped it up for Ohio State. 62-54, Wisconsin a winner here tonight. When we continue, we'll check out the Nissan Out of Town scoreboard. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Postgame coverage continues. Wisconsin 62, Ohio State 54 tonight. Nissan Out of Town scoreboard earlier in the Big Ten. Illinois dropped the hammer on Michigan tonight, 97-68. Other games in the top 25, I know they're a rival. A little shout-out to the Fighting Shockas. Marquette is rolling. They won 8 in a row now, right?
They won a big one Saturday.
Yeah, they got UConn coming. First of two they've got with UConn. But Marquette wins at Butler 78-72. Thad Matta's team went into Fiserv Forum a few weeks ago and beat Marquette. But they're on a team heater right now, are the Golden Eagles. Another top 10 team loses on the road to an unranked. This is going to be, by winning percentage, the worst in recorded history. That's the pace that top 10 teams are on the road against the unranked. Syracuse getting the Tar Heels tonight, 86-79. Dayton over Duquesne, 75-59. Virginia loses at home to Pitt, 74-63. Creighton, no trouble with Georgetown, 94-72. And Kentucky leading Ole Miss, 68-56. Kentucky's trying to snap a 3-game home losing streak. What do you got on that?
Well, and that's the thing. That's the game that I was most intrigued with tonight when you look at the slate of games, because what do they do? How do they respond? Again, the craziest thing was all three of those, like you said, were at home.
Yeah.
The Badgers, struggle was 3 of 4 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you understand road, especially this year, it's been difficult to all. Home? Not so much. That's why that Kentucky was such a big old question mark.
Other top 25 games, BYU leading Central Florida 72-63, about 4 minutes left in that game. And Baylor, ranked 12th, leads number 25, Oklahoma 75, make that 73-57, about 2.5 minutes left in that game. And that is your look around the top 25. We'll have more as we continue with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show. We're back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Elevate your ride with Wix filters for peak performance from your vehicle's engine. And you can find Wix filters at your local bumper-to-bumper auto parts store. Whether you're a seasoned pro or a weekend warrior, all the parts and accessories you'll ever need, including Wix filters, can be found at bumper-to-bumper. Or shop with ease online at mybumpertobumperstore.com. Drive with confidence and choose Wix filters at your bumper-to-bumper auto parts store. And thank you for shopping locally. Bumper-to-bumper. Service is the difference. We get it.
You're at the game with your girl, and you're going to pop the question. So you take a big swig of overpriced liquid courage. You pull the ring out of your pocket, get down on one knee, and then she says,
I need to go to the bathroom.
And you realize the whole stadium is watching.
Proposing on a Jumbotron? Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, your odds are better here.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com. That's WEABenefits.com. WEA Member Benefits is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Sean Clary here. I have been told we need to include a younger demo in our commercials. So like your local sports teams, I thought I would bring a DJ to stay.
They're rebuilding in the house or shed.
Whoa. Maybe we need to work on that. He is right, though. Check us out at clarybuilding.com for the building of your dreams. Sean Clary out.
We continue with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show. The Badgers defeat Ohio State 62-54 and thus sweep the regular season series. They could always meet in Minneapolis next month in the Big Ten tournament, but the Badgers get the sweep of the Buckeyes and knock off Ohio State for the 10th time in the last 15 games. Time for our call of the game. Much as Butchie loves to talk about the bigs, a little love for the lead guard in our call of the game. Hepburn outside right, got around Battle, throwing to Klusman, left of the circle. He'll loop it back to Hepburn, 10 on the shot clock, 55 of the game clock. Hepburn and Klusman just playing catch. Here's Chucky for three, right side, good night! Chucky Hepburn with the triple 11-point lead, Wisconsin. As the Badgers go on to the 8-point win, 62-54, head coach Greg Gard making his way over to our courtside position as the Badgers improve to 17-8 overall, 9-5 in the Big Ten. So still, you know, putting the heat on Illinois here, and they're all trying to put some heat on Purdue. But more importantly, you got to win. They got to win here tonight as Coach Gard joins us here courtside. There were stretches, it seemed like Coach Brian and I were talking. We're watching your guys going, we know those guys.
Yeah.
They were playing some pretty good basketball today.
Yeah, we did, especially the first half and a little bit of the start of the second half. But, you know, give Ohio State credit. I didn't think they would go away quietly. They're coming in with a little mojo after Saturday. And that's a prideful team, and it's a talented, obviously, backcourt with those three guys. And, you know, I thought we did a lot of good things. Defensively, I thought we were, you know, pretty good for most of the night. You know, so a lot of things to build on, but just happy for our guys. That locker room is pretty ecstatic right now. I mean, it's just they needed that. We needed that. The state needed that. Badger Nation needed that.
Well, the Hall of Fame football coach here, Barry Alvarez, once said, winning is good for the soul.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. No doubt about it. But no, a lot of good things. Getting to the free throw line, controlling the glass. Steve had another double-double. Chucky with 7 assists, no turnovers, and really was in Bruce Thornton's shorts all night long. Then obviously AJ Storr. There's probably nobody I've been riding harder to become a better player than AJ Storr, and for him to be more efficient, 4 for 9, 12 rebounds, 6 offensive. At least he's listening, so.
Now, this is the only bad part for AJ. He's put on film. He can rebound the ball at that level. So now the expectation.
I know. That's what I told him. I said, normally we would dump water all over you, but AJ, this is the standard.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
It's cool to have a guy who takes the coaching, though, too.
Yes.
You got a locker room full of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's not always, Brian's been there. It's not always. When it first happens, it's not always – it's hard to swallow. It's a little bitter. It comes out in different –
It does. A good amount.
But over the course of time, you don't just coach in a one-minute segment or a two-minute segment or one film. You take what you took, what we learned from film, from Michigan, Rutgers, and you just keep building on it, and then point things out during the game. Like even we were in one of the first media timeouts, just – AJ, what are you seeing here defensively? What can, showing him, we can use iPads on the court this year?
Because they were putting him in everything early on.
Yes.
Trying to get switch. They were putting him in everything.
So that's the neat part. I don't know, Brian, you had that when you were in the G League coaching, but we can use iPads on the bench now so you can pull film quick. We can pull the last possession. And it really, from a teaching standpoint, they wouldn't see that clip until tomorrow. Now we can see it, 45 seconds after it happened.
You talked about the three games that you kind of, you pulled stuff from and you showed guys. What did Big Steve take away from those games? Because prior to that, those three games wasn't, that productive. Now finally put together a game that we're accustomed to seeing from him.
Well, it's not only Big Steve, it's everybody else. Throw him the ball. Throw him the ball. We were going to force feed it in. We were going to pound it in, and him and Tyler. We had to, you look back through when we were rolling, what changed? Did we go away from it a little bit? I think the biggest thing, we didn't make threes in that stretch, other than at Nebraska. And I think we played bad against Purdue, but you got to hit a couple home runs in that game to knock them out. But it was the threes, and by not playing through the post, the quality of the threes that we're getting dropped. So, hence, when you get bad shots, expect bad results. So, playing through the paint more, and obviously, we get two really good post players there, and a young one that's figuring his way around a little bit in Nolan. But, you go through your horses, and we did that tonight.
And we said this before, but it makes sense to say it again. The day off is that's going to be welcome for these guys, right? Hopefully get some guys healthy here at some point.
Yeah, we'll see how we get, where we are. We're a little ways out yet with Cam, but John, hopefully by Thursday, we'll see.
Yeah.
And we got scout team guys dinged up. And
I know. It's like a bench. You could never have too many players, obviously, because they were going down here in the last few days.
We were sitting up there, Rutgers, like, when did this happen? We were there. One, two, three guys in black jersey.
Brian, I was about ready to pull you out.
You don't want that. That'd be ugly.
We'll let you play half court.
Okay. All right. As long as they don't have to run.
One of the great shooters. A stretch big.
Hey, by the way, I will say this, though. Your bigs, 3 of the 7 threes. Playing the ice coverage. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to love it when a big makes a couple threes, right, Matt?
Of course. And on that note, give yourself a little time to enjoy this one. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Congrats. Sounds good. Thanks.
Right. Badgers head coach. Coach Greg Gard, as Butchie just can't help himself. 62-54.
I gotta give some love to the Bigs.
Of course, because that never happened. 62-54. Badgers over the Buckeyes. We'll take one more break back in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be... Hey, it's Matt LePay. You're listening to Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball on WFHR, locally grown radio, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, a Civic Media station. Download our free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Listen to Wisconsin Athletics all season long on your local Civic Media radio station.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 on locally grown radio 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. And on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
To everyone who needs a little delight in their day, let our team member Paul tell you about one of our favorite sweet treats.
Making special moments at mealtime is a tradition in Wisconsin. And what better way to sweeten your day than a Culver's creamy, fresh frozen custard and your favorite mix-ins? We handcraft every concrete mixer exactly the way you like. From caramel to your favorite candies like Butterfinger.
Come to Culver's and let us make your day a little bit sweeter.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm going to see maybe if I can hit the steak place.
Should, man.
Or salt.
You got choices.
I got some options.
Now you know.
I got some options.
Now you know.
I don't want anything other than just get me to the hotel and let's get some. But it should be a good one between Rutgers and Northwestern. No, Ty Berry. I'm very interested to see about that because when you look at this Wisconsin team, standings-wise, where they're at with Northwestern as well, Ty Berry missing for Northwestern is a big deal.
It is.
So we'll see how long that's for.
And as we saw up close Saturday, Rutgers a much different team with Jeremiah Williams in the fold. But, yeah, that's a game worth watching, Badger fans. Northwestern sitting there at 8-5, the Badgers at 9-5, and Rutgers feeling pretty good about things now, a team that has won three straight. So the Badgers trying to get a winning streak of their own going, and they get a win here tonight, an 8-point win against Ohio State. 62-54, your final. That'll do it for us. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson back at our network studio, this is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Saturday afternoon as the Badgers take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Can't be president yet.
No, I'm with you. But it was an interesting weekend, and his comment, that NATO comment, and then the Tucker Carlson interview. Yeah. I'm not even going to call it an interview. The thing with Tucker Carlson and Putin basically lecturing him for 2 hours on that Ukraine doesn't exist and basically wanting to go back to historical borders. It seemed like interesting that they went together over the same period of time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the deep state we should be looking at, right? Maybe that's the coordination we'd be looking at. Tucker Carlson's a useful idiot. It's plain and simple. And I know Tucker. I used to do TV with him. I did TV with him for 10 years. And I saw him slowly drift into this madness conspiracy theorist that he's become. He used to be a reasonable conservative that you could have a conversation with, and that those days are long over. If he doesn't know by now that what he did in Russia was a huge mistake for him, he will learn in the coming months because people are just going to start shunning this man. But he is, I mean, he's already been shunned by Fox News. But he's a useful idiot. He allowed himself to be used by Vladimir Putin. And he, you know, it's despicable that he would do that. And, you know, thousands or maybe even millions of people saw that interview. And saw, you know, him portray Putin as a world leader, a sympathetic, reasonable person, which he is not. He is a dictator who, if a journalist crosses him, will have that journalist killed. If they're a political opponent, he has you killed, exiled, your family, you know, hurt. Giving him that platform. Look, I do believe that Western journalists should sit down with Vladimir Putin. I do not believe that Tucker Carlson was acting as a responsible journalist in this situation. I'm not saying that we should not have some sort of reporter doing a real earnest interview with the guy. Of course, Putin won't sit down with a reporter that would do the right kind of interview with him. So he sat down with Tucker.
No, and this is what I was going to ask you. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, would you have sat down with him?
I'm not a journalist, so, you know, I'd be the wrong person to sit down with him. I'm an opinion guy, right?
You'd be flying out a window.
Yeah, they'd kill me. I mean, I've got an opinion. I'm not a journalist. I'm the wrong guy to do it. I'd go in there with an opinion. Tucker went in there with an opinion. Tucker went in there with an opinion that this is not such a bad guy, right? I'm sorry, Tucker's an opinion guy too. He is not a journalist either. He might want to pretend he is, but he's not. There are journalists in this world. Like, send Christiane Amanpour in there. Send Kelly Meyer in there. You know, send somebody in there that's a real journalist that would actually ask real hard-hitting questions to this man. Of course, doing it in Moscow might be difficult for a real journalist.
Right.
But, I think what this guy did over the weekend, the two of them, you know, frickin' frack, they're horrible. Trump, you know, his NATO quotes, shooting at Nikki Haley because her husband's deployed. You know, I'm old enough to remember when Republicans got mad because Obama wore a tan freaking suit and said he disgraced the presidency and should resign for wearing a tan suit. Now they're falling in line. I mean, Marco Rubio's interview on Sunday on Jake Tapper's program.
Yeah.
You know, Marco Rubio is a stooge of Trump. He should just come out and say it because that's what he is. And he used to be a guy who challenged Trump. He used to be a guy who had his own worldview. And now he has subjugated his worldview for Donald Trump's. And you would expect a guy like Rubio, who's had a career, to say, you know what? What this guy said about NATO over the weekend is wrong, and we'll push back on it. But that's not what he said. He gave this man room. He said, well, he's just trying to get them to pay their dues. And every president has tried to get them to pay their dues. That's not what this guy said. This guy said he'd let Russia run over them.
And would encourage it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other part of it. But, you know, the thing is, you know, in Rubio's defense, I guess I got to defend him a little bit. Look what's going on with James Langford. I mean, you know, James Langford is, you know, someone that I don't agree with very often, but the fact that he came out for this immigration bill and Trump didn't want it because it's not on his watch. And he's been censured by the Republican Party of Oklahoma.
They censured him before they even read the bill.
Exactly. So, you know, my point is it's not even the politicians, because I've always viewed politicians as just tools to be used to get what we want. It's the Republican base. It's the voters. This idea that there are good Republican voters out there. I'm just not buying anymore.
I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple, because I won't get into why I've been thinking about it a lot, because there's an election going on that I don't know when this airs. But I've been thinking about this a lot. Why are these people who know better? I've traveled this country. I meet a lot of people on the other side of the aisle. I mean, I up until I started working for News Nation, I worked almost my national television career was all at Fox, with a brief interlude at Current, but nobody watched Current. People are always nice. They're nice to me. They're good people for the most part, good meaning people. And they're following this guy. And I think that this is like a problem with loneliness and exclusion in America, where people just want to be part of a club. And now they're part of this movement, they feel, this club where all their social lives are now. They're surrounded by people who are like-minded. And at the center of this club is Donald Trump, this cult-like figure. And if you move against the the cult-like figure. You can't be part of the club anymore. You disagree with the cult leader, you can't be part of the cult. And, it, you know, maybe calling a club is a little, a cult is a little harsh, but this is the social life of the people in that group. And I think that aging baby boomers who are starting to feel less relevant are more and more attracted to this group and this group think, and they see this as their, you know, social life. It's hard to make friends as an adult. I don't, you know, I don't need to tell you that. I know that we're adults. You and I've become friends. Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again, as always.
It's hard to make friends when you're an adult. And this, for a lot of people who are becoming more and more lonely and disconnected because of the way the world has moved so fast, they have found this movement. This is their thing. I don't think this exists without Trump. For the most part, I mean, they love his two-hour rants when he goes on stage. I don't think anybody else could do that.
Yeah, but his two-hour rants are incoherent most of the time, which is bizarre to me because they're pointing at Biden, saying Biden's the old guy. Have you listened to a Trump speech?
They are very incoherent, but I will tell you they are entertaining, especially if you are, you know,
if you're in the club.
You're an old guy who feels like he's losing his job because those people took it from him.
Yeah.
You're one of them. You love it. I'm an old guy and I used to be able to call my secretary a girl and I can't anymore. And now I hear this guy talking about just like I would talk. And he's the president of the United States. I mean, it's pathetic and sad, right? It's like from the line from Breakfast Club, pathetic and sad, but social. Yeah. And that's what it is. It is pathetic and sad, but social. These are sad people who have nothing else going on socially in their lives and feel disconnected. And I don't know how to get them back.
No, it's an interesting view. Don't. No, I mean, look, because I look at people in my neighborhood who are flying the F Biden flags, and these are people who go to church. I don't know why you would put that out in front of your house, but there it is. And, you know,
they're the same people who got very mad when Biden said this is a big effing deal.
Yeah.
How dare he use that language?
Exactly.
And now they've got flags with it on it for kids to see as they walk by. These are the same people who said Howard Stern shouldn't be on the radio. What if a kid hears it?
Yeah.
The president of the United States was dropping F-bombs.
I met a woman in Erie who had a big F Biden flag, and I said, you know, there are kids around here. And she goes, well, I didn't say it. I go, but they can read.
Yeah, no, the kids can't read.
Oh, no. It's crazy.
Don't they start reading at 18?
Yeah. I got to get your thoughts on this before I let you go. Okay. Evidently, there's some talk of Laura Trump being the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Are you hearing any of this?
It doesn't matter who's the chair of the Republican National Committee. Donald Trump is the chair of the Republican National Committee. I don't know who the co-chair will be. Romney McDaniels is leaving, from what I'm told. So I don't know who the other chair is. Look, everybody's like the Veep steak. Who's going to be the vice president? It's going to be one of his kids. Let's be very clear. He's not picking the governor of South Dakota to be his running mate. What does that get him? South Dakota, he's going to win, you know, 80-20, and it's 3 electoral votes. What? That's the one he's going to pick? He's going to pick Tim Scott? He's going to win South Carolina 80-20. Maybe not 80-20. Maybe it's 55-44. He's going to win it. He doesn't need those people. He needs loyalty. He needs somebody who will not enact the 25th Amendment. And who's that going to be? I don't know. Don Jr.? Eric?
That just opens up a whole nother world of not good possibilities.
I am telling you right now, America, listening to the Rick Smith show, it's going to be somebody very close to Trump. It is not going to be some governor kissing his butt. Surely won't be Ron DeSantis. It's not going to be Rick Scott. It's more likely to be Nikki Haley than Kristi Noem.
Yeah. No, and she would sell her soul for it, I believe.
Kristi Noem. What does that get him? Nothing. She could be Secretary of the Interior if he wins. Gets him nothing.
There you go.
And Donald Trump is a guy who wants somebody who gives me something. Right?
Is that transactional?
And something that he wants in that job is loyalty or a state.
Spot on. Chris, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Check out the Aggressive Progressive podcast. Chris Hahn, nationally syndicated radio host. Chris, thanks so much, buddy.
Anytime.
Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com for our Free Speech TV audience. Thanks so much for being here. For everybody else, right back. Thanks for tuning in to The Rick Smith Show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @RickSmithShow, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find all that and much more at TheRickSmithShow.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on
the
air.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't...
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, partly cloudy in mid-20s in the overnight with a light breeze. On Wednesday, plentiful clouds, highs in the mid-40s. Rain to snow Wednesday night, 1 to 3 inches of accumulation by dawn. Our lows dropping to the upper 20s. It's 21 at our studios.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. And on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, came across an interesting series of tweets that that grabbed my attention. And look, we know that the anti-union, anti-worker forces, we know that they never stop. They never stop figuring out ways of attacking workers and their rights. But I came across this series of tweets talking about SpaceX and Trader Joe's. And this, well, the potential of undoing, 80 years of labor stability in this country or something close to it with kind of a newfangled legal theory that I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out. That's why we've asked our legal expert to come share some thoughts. Seth Goldstein is a partner at Julian Meyer Signal, and Goldstein, he represents the Amazon labor union folks and the people over at Trader Joe's. So this is kind of a big deal. Seth, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
So walk me through what this new thing is. As I get from your tweets, this anti-union law firm, big anti-union law firm, is filing a charge in federal court that the NLRB is unconstitutional?
That's what's going on, yes.
Walk me through how that is. I mean, this is 70 plus years of decided law, 80 years of decided law. How now? Why now? Walk me through the argument.
Because they simply want to destroy workers' rights. So in Texas, a man named Harry Johnson, who used to be on the NLRB as a Republican member, has filed on behalf of SpaceX and Elon Musk a lawsuit in South Texas, basically saying that the structure of the National Labor Relations Board and the NLRA is unlawful. They actually, in their footnote, request that the court overrule the Lachlan case, which is a 1937 case that basically said that the NLRA and NLRB are constitutional. So that's going on in Texas, and they're in the same court where a judge ruled last year that you couldn't mail certain anti-abortion medication, and that case went up to the Supreme Court. So they were what's called forum shopping. They were looking for the right court to bring this action, and they found it. It's a rural court, and they've asked for a preliminary injunction to basically suspend the SpaceX case. Now, that case has to do with a group of employees that signed a letter. And so they're protected under what's called Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act. They are not union workers. This action deals with non-union workers. Simultaneously, Morgan Lewis, the same firm that was involved with SpaceX, has also, in a administrative law trial in Hartford, Connecticut, involving the Hadley store and Trader Joe's United, amended their answer and, as an affirmative defense, made the same argument that's being made in SpaceX. So different companies, but the same law firm and the same arguments.
Yeah, coordinated arguments. And look, you know, all to undo, you know, decided law, all to, well, destroy workers' ability to fight for better wages, hours, conditions. You know, let's start with, what are the chances that this happens? And let's say that it doesn't, that this is just more wheel spinning. What is this going to do to a movement of workers who right now there's some energy of people wanting NLRB elections and winning those elections? What does this mean on both ends?
Since Trader Joe's can't win an election democratically, they've lost four of them. They have now decided that they want to trash the whole of American labor and take away their right to organize. So today, just to let you know, to give you an update, we had collective bargaining in Oakland with Trader Joe's, and we asked the question five times whether or not Trader Joe's agrees that the National Labor Relations Act is constitutional and the board has jurisdiction over the company. And they refused to answer it five times. So this is a very serious threat. Also, during our contract negotiations, the employer refused to provide proposals on binding arbitration and just cause that would give our employees protection under the contract. So their answer was, well, you can file under law. However, if they're opposing the law and they say, oh, you have the right to strike, and then if we get our members get fired striking, under their scenario, the board doesn't have any constitutionality to put them back to work. So this is very dangerous. This is new. They used to fight us and then accept, you know, they would fight up to federal court. But now they intend on going to the Supreme Court on this issue.
And with this Supreme Court, I don't know that anything's secure. I don't know anything's safe. I know Roberts, you know, during his confirmation said he believed in decided law and, you know, stare decisis, and he was only going to call balls and strikes. But there have been some interesting balls and strikes called during his tenure of overturning decided law. So this could cause chaos in employment law in this country, couldn't it?
Absolutely. So theoretically, in the next weeks or months, if this judge makes a ruling in favor of a preliminary injunction that's been brought by Morgan Lewis on behalf of SpaceX, every employer that has the ability to do so will be filing injunctions in federal court to stop the legal proceedings of the National Labor Relations Board. Also, if they win the preliminary injunction, they may then seek restitution on the employees that already got awards, because they would argue that it's ill-gotten gains, that they should have gotten it, that it's unconstitutional. So how can they get the money? So they'll go after the employees. That will chill any type of activism. And I believe that we need to get the word out to everyone, because this is very dangerous. There are very dark forces at work. I believe it's the Federal Society is involved in this. I believe probably Heritage Foundation is. And I also think that, you know, some of the other right-wing groups are involved. They think that Donald Trump is going to get elected. They think that they'll get their person on the board. Maybe they'll get another Morgan Lewis attorney on the NLRB. By the way, I will tell you that in the last 10 years, Two of the senior partners of Morgan Lewis were chairmen of the NLRB. That's John Ring and Philip Camara. And I don't see them giving back their salary because they work for an unconstitutional agency. So the hypocrisy is just great.
Yeah, but at the end of this, this could be destructive in so many ways. And my mind immediately goes to, you know, all of this activity that's happening, all of the, you know, the elections at Trader Joe's and Starbucks and, you know, all of this stuff, the Amazon, you know, push, all this stuff could come to a screeching halt just to decide a question that's been decided for decades.
Right. Well, they're weaponizing separation of powers. That's their argument. The Chevron doctrine, which is being decided by the court. And they're basically going to tear apart not just the National Labor Relations Board, but they'll go after the Fair Labor Standards Act next, ERISA, OSHA. It's not going to stop with a single agency. They want to destroy all the agencies because they don't believe in the administrative state.
You know, I talk quite often about the Lochner era. And, you know, this idea of liberty of contract and that you can make no law to protect workers because, well, it's your choice. That same theme keeps popping up time and time again. Only now, instead of liberty, we're using freedom. You have the freedom to be exploited. This is all part of that whole scheme that these right wing think tanks funded by billionaires have been pushing for decades. And now, thanks to Trump and thanks to, you know, a lot of the people he's packed the courts with. It seems like this is potentially possible.
It is possible. And I've been warning about that since Amazon, when Amazon contested the election that they lost by 10%. I mean, basically, employers love democracy until they lose. And in both cases, they've lost elections. And now they want to backdoor Lochner by arguing.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, the other side of this then.
Doesn't have any power.
You know, and let me ask you the last line of questioning I got on this, because obviously something has to be done. Can this be stopped? How do you see this being stopped? And, you know, do elections matter in this world?
Of course they matter. And people should get out and vote, you know, for policies that are pro-worker. Jennifer Abruzzo has been a great general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board. And if you want those policies to continue, you can't complain. You have to go out and vote. So elections do matter. Also, people need to be aware of what the extreme right wing is doing. They want to take away your rights. They want to take away your due process. They want to basically make us serfs in their economy. And I don't understand why this should not be a pressing issue for people to galvanize and say, you're not taking my rights away. Otherwise, workers will have no rights at the workplace. It'll be like it's 1920, 100 years ago.
How come we're only now just hearing about this, Seth? I mean, I saw it from you. How come the AFL-CIO, how come, you know, other unions aren't front and center with this? Because this seems like a big freaking deal.
Because I think that the right wing tries to make it some type of obtuse constitutional issue that people don't understand, and people's eyes glaze over when what they're really doing is trying to take away your rights. I think it's been under the radar. I know that the AFL has been involved in it. They've been very supportive. But I think that it's up to all of us to be discussing this and to still organize. Just because this is happening, we shouldn't stop organizing. We should put our foot on the accelerator and do everything we can to make sure that we continue unionizing. So we shouldn't look at this as something that is a catastrophe. We need to make sure that worker power is felt, that we're union strong.
There you go. Seth, I appreciate you taking some time. I hope you'll come back and fill us in more on how this is playing out and keep us up to date on what's going on.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Seth Goldstein, partner at Julian Meyer Singler and Goldstein, one of the Amazon labor union attorneys and Trader Joe's as well. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Is this of concern? Should this be something we're organizing around and getting ticked off about? Will this finally make workers go, hey, bridge too far? Want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. So, you know, look, this is a big deal. And I don't know that it came through as well as I wanted it to. So I got to go back through this. Because the argument that's being made here is unique in that, you know, you go back to 1935, the NLRA's passed, it makes it through the Supreme Court, it's ruled constitutional, and for generations, it is the law of the land. It's how employment law is done. Now, there's a couple ways of looking at this. Okay, fine. What the NLRA was, the National Labor Relations Act, it was a peace treaty, because workers at the time were literally tearing the country apart. My grandparents' generation were in the streets, literally tearing the country apart, and this was the peace treaty. These were people who came back from World War II and said, "We're not going to be hungry anymore." These are people who fought fascism overseas and said, "We're not going to put up with the dictatorial boss in the workplace. We want better," and they fought for it in the streets, and this was the compromise. This is what was to get people to come back to the table, to talk, to bargain, and to negotiate locally. No strong arm tactics from the federal government. Encourage collective bargaining. Encourage both sides to sit down at the table and negotiate. Well, that worked out really well for working people. We created the largest, most prosperous working class in the history of civilization. And from that point forward, conservatives, business interests, the billionaire class are wealthy, along with some corporate Democrats, have done everything in their foolhardy best to destroy that and to take it away. And this is the next iteration. Understand, you know, these right-wing think tanks, of which there's one in every state in this country, well-funded, well-staffed, with the best minds that corporate money can buy, thinking up bad ideas all the time, this being part of it. Now, I don't think this is a new idea. I think they just have said, you know, hey, the time is right. We've got corporate judges. We've got these activist judges who, well, they're really not worker friendly. So they've come up with this idea saying, look, you know, because the president approves the people on the NLRB and can remove them because of the administrative law judges, well, that's unconstitutional. It violates our right to a trial by jury, which I got to tell you, I don't know that works out well for them. You get a jury full of angry working people. I'm not sure that's what they want, but this is their argument. And it also, they're arguing that it violates the separations of powers, that the NLRB combines executive branch power with the judicial power to make rulings and legislative functions to set the rules. They're arguing that, well, this is a separation of power thing, instead of what the main intention was. Now, look, they were against it from the beginning. There's nothing new here. They've been against every step forward for working people ever. And I'm not just being hyperbolic and making this up. You go back and you read about the Lochner era. You go back and you read about, you know, the 1905 Bake Shop Act in New York and how, you know, they tried to limit the number of hours that bakers compelled their employees to work, you know, 60, 70, 80, 100 hours a week in hot, horrible conditions. And when they made this rule, you had this guy, Joseph Lochner, a bakery owner, who continually violated it. and took the case to the Supreme Court. And in 1910, they came up with this idea that of liberty of contract. If those workers want to work 100 hours a week in deplorable, desperate conditions for poverty wages, it's their right. It's their liberty. And I say this all the time. You know, they want to put us back into that desperation mindset. They want to put people back in their place. And we heard that after the pandemic. We had that guy from Australia basically saying, we need unemployment, we need pain and misery to put those workers back where they belong, under our thumb. This is all part of this. And again, this is why elections matter. Elections have consequences. Working people voting for Republicans, for me, has always blown my mind because Republicans hate working people. Look at what they do. Now, Democrats haven't always been the greatest friend of the working class person either, which is why you vote them bums out too. And you find people who are going to ensure that workers get a fair shake. This is not that. And the moneyed interests are doing everything they can to push this narrative that, you know, those are outdated rules. I saw a National Review article that caught my attention that was titled "The Resurgence of Organized Labor is Media Spin," because workers aren't really organizing. You know, all of the strikes and all of the activity that we're seeing, it's all a media construct. And look, the article is not wrong in its premise that because of how we run union elections and because how hard it is for workers to get contracts, density has actually fallen while the number of people organizing has gone through the roof because of how outdated our laws are, and they want to go and break them even further. Now, understand what this is about. While there's all of this energy and all this activity, and the bigger part, Jennifer Abruzzo, the head over there at the NLRB, a Biden appointee, she has been doing what the mission of the NLRA is, to encourage workers to join and form unions to collectively bargain for better wages, hours, and conditions. That's the mission of the board. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And she is doing that, and they don't like it. They don't like it one bit. They don't like having to spend money on union-busting legal firms. That's money that's coming out of their pocket. Now, they'll do it. Oh, boy, will they. Look at how much money Amazon spent in Bessemer, Alabama, to fight back against the union there. They will spare no expense to hold on to their power. It's not really about the money. It's about the control. And this is where, you know, I come back to what they're doing is they're trying to take power and control away from we the people. And they've done a masterful job of it through their corporate-controlled media and their right-wing echo chamber. They do a masterful job of divide and conquer. And they do a masterful job of divide and conquer in the workplace as well. And this is where I keep saying, if we're going to reunite this country, we've got to reunionize. And they understand that. They completely understand it, which is why they come up with this. Now, why Texas? Why go to Texas, which is a no-rights-at-work state, has a fairly low union density? Well, because it's an easy court. This is the rocket docket. This is the hurry up and sprint it to the Supreme Court. This is the hurry up and move this in a way that they get what they want so that they can end up in the Fifth Circuit. They end up going to the Supreme Court. And now, thanks to a Trump Supreme Court, thanks to all of the working people who put him into office, well, this Supreme Court that decided the Janus case, that said, sorry, you public sector workers, you don't have the ability to ensure in your workplace that everyone pays into the union dues, that you don't get to fund your union. We're going to neuter you and make it a no rights at work country for people in the public sector. That's what they did. And do you think this court, this Supreme Court, with people like Sam Alito, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, do you think that there's anything that they won't overturn? any bit of legacy of this country that they won't overturn to fit their ideological aims? The answer is no. There is nothing. They will continue. And we, you, me, us, we better figure out how to stop this. We better figure out which way we're going. Now, look, you know, I've done organizing over the years. And I remember some of the, you know, the horror stories of being out there and dealing with employers who will come flat out and tell you, you know, we're never giving you a contract. You're getting nothing from us. We will fight every opportunity. We will stall. We will delay. We will break the law. And understand, the laws are so weak that if you're one of the union busting attorneys, it's almost political malpractice for you not to tell your client to break the law. Because the punishment is simple. Promise not to do it again. Post the dreaded notice. There's no, we're going to impose bargaining on you. There's no, we're going to ensure that there's a contract. There's none of that stuff. There's promise not to do it again until you do it again. And then maybe there's a fine, maybe there's something. But that's way down the road and costly and difficult to prove. And all of this stuff, understand, is yeah, they want to win. They want to win this issue. And they may. Who knows? I, given the Supreme Court, anything is possible. But more importantly, it's about stalling and delaying. It's about spinning the wheels. And I learned that firsthand doing organizing. You get these union-busting lawyers in there. It is, everything's about dragging it out. Everything's about taking longer and longer and getting working people frustrated, keeping them on edge, keeping them fearful. Because along with this stall and delay tactic come a lot of harassment and intimidation. This is the union busting playbook. This is what the Republican Party just loves to get behind because, well, those unions are bad. And what's weird is I know a lot of good union members who vote for Republicans. I can't figure out why, given the fact that you see what their think tanks, you see what their handiwork does. And it's this kind of stuff. Now, I'm struggling that this isn't a bigger issue. I'm struggling that there aren't a lot of unions who are, you know, making this front and center to their members, going, hey, look, this is what they're arguing. They're arguing that you shouldn't exist. And all of the benefits that you get, all of the things that have made your life better, they're going to destroy. They pay these think tank folks huge money to dream up bad ideas on how to hurt you and me. They didn't create an entire, an incestuous web of bad ideas to benefit you and me. They did it to benefit themselves. And what better way to benefit the wealth class of this country than to destroy the one mechanism that working people have to level the playing field? The one mechanism that working people have to make lives better. The one mechanism that they can fight for equality, for a voice, for justice. Yeah, it's that powerful. And while most working people don't realize that, the people who are funding this stuff, they do. And I go back to something my grandfather always said. If a rich guy's going to tell you, spend a buck to tell you you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. Because they understand return on investment. They didn't become rich people by just throwing money away. No, no. They didn't become rich by giving money away without there being a payback on the other end. And here, the payback is power. The payback is control. The payback is massive profits. And the question for you and me is, are we okay with that world? Are we okay to return to the Gilded Age? Well, even worse than it is today? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you missed any portion of the program, grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.